Okay, turn with me back to Hebrews 1. And look at verse 13 with me, 13 and 14. Hebrews 1:13 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Tonight, we're going to look at the subject of God's guardian angels. God's guardian angels. The end of verse 14 says, "Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation." Sent forth to His elect. God's guardian angels. But before we look at His angels, I want us to look at Christ. All right? Before we look at His angels, let's take a look at Him first. Look with me at verse 4. That's where we pick up from last week. Verse 4 says, "Being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." I'm interested in His angels. And we are going to look at His angels tonight. And I enjoyed studying it. I really did. But let's start by glorying in Christ. First and foremost, He is so much better than the angels. So much better. "And He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." You can turn with me or you can listen to Philippians 2. This is Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Philippians 2, verse 9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow," every single knee, "of things in heaven," that's angels, everything that's up there, "and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In looking at this, we're not going to worship the angels. We're not going to. We're not going to worship and adore God's angels. We're going to worship Christ. His name is above everything. Everything. Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that He is Lord. Now go with me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verse 8 says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them." John, the apostle, wrote, he penned this book, and the Lord sent an angel to him to say, "Write these things." Okay? So it says, "I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." He said, don't do it. Stand up. Stand up. I fell down to worship at the feet of this angel. He said, get up. Worship God. Worship God. God. By God's grace, that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to worship God. In looking at His created beings, we're going to worship Him for His provision and His protection for us. All right, now turn with me back to Hebrews 1. Verse 5 says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." God the Father only said that to Christ his Son. Only. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is not God's Son. Isn't that a wonderful revelation? Isn't that a wonderful thing to see? Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is not God's Son. Not by creation, like we are and everything else is. Not by creation, like men think He is. They think that He is God's Son. A man has a son. The man came first. The son came second. Not in this case. Not in this case. The angels were created, not him. He's the one who created the angels. And he's not the son by adoption like we are. We're sons of God by adoption. By bought price, purchased price. Christ is the Son by nature. That's who He is. He's the Son of God by nature. Verse 6 says, "And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him." When Christ came to this earth, the Father said, "Every angel in glory must bow down and worship Him." Oh, worship the King. The King is here, and that's exactly what they did. You can listen, or you can turn with me to Luke 2. This is Luke 2, verses 8 to 14. Luke 2, verse 8 says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." God said all the heavenly host must bow down and worship Him. And that's exactly what they did. All right, now back in our text in Hebrews 1, verse 6 says, "And again, when He bringeth in the firstborn into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels," or concerning the angels, "He said, Who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire." He created His angels to be spirits. They are created spirits. And every now and then they take on them a form of a body. And He calls them flames of fire. And one man, one commentator said they could be called that because of a few reasons. One of them is they're so swift in flight, like a bolt of lightning. I love back in Daniel 9, that's one of my favorite accounts in the Scripture. In Daniel 9, they're in captivity, and Daniel is praying to God, begging and pleading on behalf of the sin of the people. Daniel starts to realize, Jeremiah wrote about this, and the Scriptures start to come alive to him, and he starts to see the sin of the people, and he starts begging God, "Oh, Lord, please forgive. Please help us." And it says, the angel Gabriel being caused to fly swiftly came down and touched him. And he touched him before he even finished praying. He was in the middle of praying. And the angel said, as soon as you started speaking, the command came from the throne. Go help him. And the angel being caused to fly swiftly, and that word swiftly means with weariness of flight. He flew so hard. I'm here. God said it's okay. I'll tell you this, if that doesn't encourage us to cry out to our God for help, I don't know what will. He said, as soon as you started speaking, the command came from the throne. That man, that commentator, also said they could be called flames of fire because of their burning love and zeal for their God. It's inspiring. They do His bidding. They do His bidding. The same angel, Gabriel, told Zacharias, I'm the one who stands in the presence of God. I look at God and I stand at His throne waiting for His command. That's what I do. I wait for His command. The Lord said about the angels that He has stationed with His people. And again, we're about to get into that in just a minute. He said, this is what He said about them. They always behold the face of My Father. They always behold the face of My Father. Now, 2 weeks ago, May 6th, we were headed to the conference in Rocky Mount. And in order to get there on time, we had to take our girls out of school early. So we went to get them, and they were having field day that day. And they had all these stations set up. You know, they would take the classes to the different... One of the stations was the police department was doing a canine demonstration. And I was kind of interested to see it. I was excited. I wanted that dog to attack somebody. You know, they put that suit on. And he did. But I waited around to see it. And this police officer... had the dog in the car, and he was talking to all the kids and telling them what to expect, and this is what we're, there's some rules here before we get the dog out. And anyway, when it was time, he had a remote, he hit a button, and the rear passenger door of his car opened, and that dog came shooting out of that car, and he ran straight to his left side. He had his weapon on his right side. That dog was trained to go straight to his left side. And I had it in my mind, especially after he was kind of warning the kids, stay back, you know. I thought that the dog would be on a leash, you know, just like vicious dogs, you know, standing there like leaning forward, you know, let me, release me. Looking out, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with you. That's not what happened at all. I almost started crying. When he hit that button, that dog ran out. It came straight to his side and looked up at him and never took his head off of him. And that police officer would take a couple steps forward and he'd move forward. And he'd take a couple steps back and he'd move back. And if he would spin, he would get to his side and look up at him. Finally, he said, stay, lie down. And he went up and he was talking to the kids, walking around a little bit. And the whole time that dog looked at him. He never took his eyes off of him, waiting for his command. And I saw that dog and I thought, what loyalty. What service. What worship. That's what it is. That dog worshiped him. And he didn't move until the command was given. Never took his eyes off of him. Our Lord said, that's what the angels do. That's what the angels do. They are constantly beholding the face of My Father. Constantly. Verse 8 says, but unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The man Christ Jesus came to this earth and he earned the crown, he earned the throne, and he earned the kingdom. He earned it all. He loved righteousness and he hated iniquity, so he dealt with it. And because he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because he did that, God the Father anointed him above all his fellows. Verse 10 says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." I love how he said to Job, you know, Job had two cents he wanted to throw into the pot. And he said, "You're going to bring counsel to me? Where were you when I laid the foundations of this earth? Where were you when I stretched the line?" He said, how's it all staying together? You tell me, Job, what's it all fastened to? If any man glories, let him glory in the Lord. Right? Let him glory in the Lord. Lord, you made it all. You're going to destroy it all. The end of verse 10 says, "And the heavens are the works of thine hand." Verse 11 says, "They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Like a shirt, you're just going to take it off and fold it up and set it to the side. It's yours to do with whatever you want to. All the power is in your hands. All authority is in your hands. So verse 13 says, "To which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'?" God the Father has only made that promise to God the Son. Only. And concerning his angels now, he says in verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" That verse tells us that the reason God made angels was for the purpose of ministering to God's elect. That's humbling, isn't it? That's humbling. They do his bidding concerning them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now, turn with me to a few scriptures. Just for the next few minutes, we're going to turn to a few scriptures. And I believe you'll be glad you did. There is so much comfort in this right here. Go with me to Psalm 103. While you're turning over there, let me quote to you a little bit of what John Gill said about our Lord's angels. And every statement that he made can be supported by Scripture. He made a statement about them, and every piece of it can be supported by Scripture. He said, "The ministry of angels concerns things spiritual and temporal, our souls and our bodies, both spiritual and physical, in directing and preserving us in journeys." And we have Scripture to prove that. What that means is we go on a trip, and all of a sudden we get all bent out of shape because there's a detour ahead. What happened? A boulder fell. Landed straight in the middle of the interstate. And we got to go all the way around. What actually happened was, now here's the point. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens without the direct command from the throne of God. A leaf won't fall off of a tree unless God says it's okay. So what literally happened is, God the Father said, "There's danger ahead. Go up that interstate a few miles and hit that rock." safe. And we're all been out of shape. Now we got to make our detour and we live another day. So he said about his angels, their ministry concerns our souls and our bodies in directing and preserving us in journeys, in delivering us from outward dangers. We have no idea the danger we're constantly in. No idea. And I'll tell you this, ignorance is bliss. It's so much bliss. In restraining things that would harm us. And in destroying our enemies. They also make known the mind and the will of the Lord to us. They assist us in trial and temptation. They even came to our Lord, didn't they? When he was 40 days in the wilderness. They came to him when he was in Gethsemane. They assist us in trial and temptation. They carry us to heaven. And will gather the elect in the last day. They are sent forth by Christ to minister to us. Now that's just precious, isn't it? Look right here at Psalm 103, verse 20 says, bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Now, I have a reference that right next to that excel in strength. It says mighty in strength. They don't just have strength. They are mighty in strength. Mighty in strength. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul called them his mighty angels. Let me show you how mighty they are, okay? You're going to love this. Go with me to 2 Kings 19. Second Kings 19. This is the Lord speaking. In verse 34, he said, for I will defend this city. This city was being attacked by the enemy. And God said, I will defend this city to save it for my own sake. And for my servant David's sake, I'm going to defend this place. It's being attacked, but I'm going to defend it. For my sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel. Now, do you see how angel is a lowercase a, not a capital A? This is one of God's ministering spirits. One, the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185. 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. One angel. Our Lord said, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. You better be careful that you despise. They said, the Assyrians said, we're going to take that city and we're going to kill all of Israel. And God said, you better take heed that you despise not one of my little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels, not their angel, their angels, do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. What does that mean? They're angels. Turn with me to 2 Kings 6. The king of Syria wanted to kill Elisha. He wanted him dead. So 2 Kings 6 verse 13 says, and he said, that's the king of Syria, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, when Elisha's servant, his helper, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. We cannot physically imagine how safe we are. Your brain can't go there. Can't go there. You cannot imagine how safe you are if you belong to Christ. One angel killed 185,000 men in one night. One angel. When Peter drew out his sword and cut off that man's ear, I can just see Peter. You know, he had his sword. You know, and here's Peter. They came with sticks, and there's Peter with his sword, you know. Our Lord said, Peter, that's cute. Put away your sword. If I give the command right now, 12 legions of angels will come surround us. A legion is 6,000 angels. That's 72,000 angels. If I say the word, 72,000 mighty angels will come surround us. Now, I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm not trying to be emotional. I'm just trying to state a fact to every single one of us. If God would open our eyes right now, our God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. One of His words will not fail. And if He would open our eyes right now, and if we could see, you see, we can't see right now. But if He could cause us to see, not only would we see angels inside this room filling up all the empty seats, we would see angels lined up in ranks around this building. There are angels sitting on the roof. There are angels stationed in the basement. Nothing is coming up, in, or on God's people. Not as long as God is on the throne. It will not happen. If you could do that for your child, would you do it? Yes, and He can. Not as long as He's on the throne. Nothing will happen. In a minute, we're going to get in our cars and we're going to go home. You're going to have angels stationed around your cars. Not only are they going to walk you all the way to your front door, they are going to be stationed at the head, foot, and sides of your bed. I'm not lying. I'm just not lying to us. This is not fairy tale, make-believe. This is the Word of God Almighty. All of the angels that God has stationed with His people are continually beholding His face, waiting for His command, protecting His people. It's what they do, and they're good at it. They're good at it. There is a very special relationship between the Lord's people and His angels. A very close, special relationship. This Word of God says, and this tells you that the heart He's given His angels for His people. This Word of God says, every time a child of God repents, all of the mighty angels, all of the strong soldiers of war break out rejoicing. Heaven erupts with joy. And just for a little bit of added peace of mind, if you need a little more peace of mind here, I did the math. If one angel can at least wipe out 185,000 men of the enemy. 72,000 angels, just by the calculation of God's word, can at least wipe out 13,320,000,000 men in one night. One night. All right, now just in case that's not enough, just in case more than 13 billion men attack you in one night, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 22 says, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." The host of God's angels cannot be numbered. Not by man's number. They cannot be numbered. And God will send as many as it takes. He'll send as many as it takes. And this is just precious. I don't know how else to say it, but this is precious. Look at chapter 13, verse 2. It says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Some have physically had dealings with God's angels from heaven. They look like men. They don't have wings. I know that's a shocker, but they don't. They do fly. But I have not found one scripture. And this afternoon I looked at 65 and I couldn't find one scripture that says that the angels have wings. Now, if somebody finds one, I will stand corrected. That's fine. But the seraphims have wings, six of them, and they're continually around the throne crying, "Holy, holy, holy." The cherubims have wings, but the angels look like men. Every time you hear of the angels, when Mary and they went into the tomb and two men stood by in shining garments, they look like men. And they're real. They're spirits. You can't always see them, but God says some have had dealings with God's angels directly with fresh paperwork, with fresh commands from the throne of God. And straight from God to you. You think about that. The throne of grace. Straight from the throne of grace. God to you directly. And you didn't even know it. You had no idea. That's just glorious. That is glorious. Now, let's close this message with this verse of Scripture, okay? Go with me back to the text. Hebrews 1, verse 4 says, "Being made so much better than the angels." Let's come back to that. As wonderful as the angels are, they're wonderful. Christ is better. He is so, so much better. And every angel that's in this room right now, and if they can hear through the walls and the windows, every time a child of God declares that the Christ is better than angels, every angel cries, "Amen." Christ is better than the angels, and they all say, "Amen." Every time, he's better. All of heaven says it. He's better. He's better. All right, let's all stand together.